Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 6th. Joining us this morning is Anthony Mantova. Boy, we hear you on Community Comment, and you just can't get this radio thing out of your system, huh?
Well, good morning, Brian. You know, you're on my way to work.
Oh,
and
I see.
So if you're not careful, I will come in every morning.
So I'm a pit stop then.
Exactly.
PIT.
We need more donuts and cakes and stuff up here.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Well, you got to talk to your partner about that one. Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. I bet you won't. All righty. We got a new book starting of the year. Ever Wonder Why?
Oh, great.
All right. So far, we've been able to get a little bit closer on some of these and some of the other ones we've done in the past. So, ever wondered why corned beef is called corned beef when it contains no corn?
I have never wondered that.
Ah, you should have. But you don't have a lot of Irish in you, do you?
No, that's the problem right there.
Yeah. I was going to say. Oh, the corn in corned beef has nothing to do with the vegetable corn. It means preserved in salt. The salt pellets originally used to preserve this type of beef were called salt corns, and beef preserved in this way was called corned beef.
That is interesting. And, you know, it's,
I thought it was peppercorn. That's where I would have gone.
That's what I would have thought, too. But it makes you wonder, 200, 300 years ago, when you went over to somebody else's house to eat, how scary would that have been? Because you would have had to assume that they properly salted everything. You didn't even know what germs were back then. It's interesting.
How about lard? In and of itself, just lard.
Well, it makes good beans. We know that.
Yeah. Not garbanzo beans, though.
No, never a big fan of those.
Really?
Never a big fan. You know, when I would have a salad when I was younger, the garbanzo beans always found their way
next to the peas,
fork,
huh?
And by the peas and under the table. So.
Now the secret's out.
Yeah.
What I was thinking today, we could talk about family-run business.
Okay.
I kind of came into it as third generation. You guys formulated a business with family members. And I know there's a lot of folks that have got that inkling to attempt and to express their entrepreneurial spirit, so to speak, with family members. Yeah, you know, whether it's the restaurant where mom and dad are there and then the kids are there, or like in your guys' situation where the siblings got together. What got you thinking about something along those lines? And how would you guide people who are thinking about opening a business with family members? What are some of the things to reflect on before you go crazy?
Well, I think the first thing is just to understand that it is a pathway to wealth. It's a pathway to success. If you can get along with your siblings in that capacity, if you've got a mature enough relationship where you can separate business from everything else. It's got a lot going for it. You look at the history of Humboldt, there are a lot of great families that even got all the way to fifth generation with their business. There's a lot of potential pitfalls and things that can come up with second to third generation. You can probably read online about that. A lot of challenges that come up no matter what the family, no matter what the business venture. But the short answer is yes, it's a great way to organize your resources and pursue a dream together. It can work really well. You're flexible in terms of cash flow. You know, if you've got a couple of months that are kind of rough, you're able to ride those out because it's family. It's a lot easier just because you connect on that level. I'm all for it. And there are plenty of empty buildings in Eureka. There's plenty of opportunities. There's a lot of opportunity right now. I know it might not seem that way because of COVID, but people still need to buy things. People still want services. So I'd say go for it.
So what kind of research did you guys do prior to? Part of that, I would think, would be to determine what type of business you wanted. But how do you go about it and then the delineation of authority?
You know, it's always possible. I think one of the greatest resources you have when you first start a business is you've got that naivety, you've got that not knowing what to fear. When Nick and Matt and myself got into it, we were working, we started, our first real business was multi-level marketing. It was Amway, believe it or not. We did that. We had to deal with the grind of Amway and what that looked like. So we started on the very bottom of what a business can be in that sense. But I think you don't even know what to research if you've never had a business before. So we did very little research.
Didn't go to SBA or no. any of that kind of stuff?
Never went to SBA. I think when you grow up on a farm, you kind of have a healthy distrust of government. You don't really think government's going to be there for you. You don't really see government loans being a thing. Certainly not when you have a precious small amount of time to form a business. I think the last thing on our minds was let's go get a government loan. Let's get government assistance. It's not part of the model.
Not a financial resource, but as an information resource.
You know, I did one class, to be honest with you. I think it was in 2009. It was a couple months before. It was a marketing class taught by the local SBA office. I went there a couple of nights. It was a good class. It gave me some good material. So I'm just talking about my experience. If you're thinking about starting a business, by all means, jump in and learn something before you do it.
That's what I was going to ask. So,
I'm not necessarily the example to follow.
How would you recommend others not to follow
the
trail you did, or to avoid some of the pitfalls that you guys ran into? That now, in hindsight, it's kind of like a series of V8 moments.
It's part of the reason why you and I read books. It's like having your own set of board members, right? The books that you choose. You can do the same thing on YouTube. You can do the same thing on radio. But you have to choose. I think you have to pick business icons. You have to pick people that are pioneers and trailblazers and try to learn from them. I think there is a danger to just going on your Instagram and just following everybody in a space, because you'll get confused. You only have 24 hours in a day, and only two-thirds of those you're going to be using. So choose your mentors, even if you never meet them, very wisely, or you'll get confused.
And I suppose that's part of the research, is to find out who those folks are. And we'll
do it as quick as you can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and probably trying to find a personality that you resonate with.
That can help too, but some of the people I follow, I would never get along with in real life.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Anthony Mantova of Mantova's 2 Street Music.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to play with you a little bit, but nah. So when you're working with family, you know, one of the things that's difficult for a lot of folks is keeping it at work.
Right.
Okay. Keeping work at work, not taking it home. And then keeping any of the emotional at work and not bringing it home.
No.
You know, we just came through the holiday season, right, with Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'm sure you guys got together, even if it was only up to 6.
Am I allowed to talk about that on the radio?
Yeah, well.
How big the gathering was?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
one-handed. Don't want to be hauled out of here, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But in those types of situations, you know, it's really easy to carry things over.
Right.
So were there any tricks you were to offer to somebody of how to compartmentalize so that things don't?
Well, the key word is what you just said, is compartmentalize. Some of us can and some of us can't. For me, luckily, I'm one that can, but a lot of people just can't. And that's just the personality type, probably. But I think a lot of people do bring their problems to work, whether it's in retail at the front counter or in the back, and you really can't do that. For me, the short answer would be I would remind my brothers that business comes first, personal is always second. That's just the way I look at it, because for me, I like to prioritize things. I have so many things I have to do in a day, I can't do them all. So when I remind myself business comes first, any bad experience that I might want to bring into the office or bring to the front counter, it doesn't happen. I mean, probably 99 times out of 100, I don't bring any negative experience in the door with me. I can honestly say that just because I do compartmentalize. But bringing this to everybody else that has a business, if you are going to compartmentalize problems and not inflict those problems on your customers, you are going to need to have a method for relaxing when you get home, letting it go. Make sure you don't bring all your work home with you, especially if you're a big-time somebody that puts it off. You can't put it off forever. You do have to deal with your issues. So if you've got an issue with a family member, that's way more complicated than an issue with an employee. Because an employee, for the most part, you could just tell them, hey, I want it done this way, and that's that.
Or let's discuss it. Okay.
Or let's discuss it.
Here's the determination. Boom. But the lingering isn't often.
Yeah, family, not so much. You know. So what you have to do is you have to address it. If you can set it aside and not bring it to work, then kudos to you. That is the best situation. It should never, your personal problem should never be taken to work. That is unacceptable. So there's got to be some accountability. You have to have the ability and the confidence and the connection with your siblings or your parents or whoever it is to tell them, hey, you can't bring this to work. You just have to outright say it. Because customers will feel those vibes. They'll see it.
Oh yeah,
and it'll hurt your business. I mean, nobody wants to be around that
with a staff meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
That can happen also. You know, sure. You have the staff meeting before the doors open, then the doors open, and
I have no doubt it's a chronic problem in family businesses. But it's going to come down to some key elements of know yourself, know what you're comfortable with, know where you want to be, have basic goals. Do you look in the mirror and like the person you see? That is simple stuff, but a lot of business owners probably put so much effort into their business that they allow the emotional, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual side of themselves deteriorate. And when they let those four critical components of their personal life deteriorate, it will eventually affect your business.
You mentioned mentors.
Yeah.
Or perhaps formalized. Non-formalized.
Sure.
So when you're looking for authors,
yeah,
what did you look for to find somebody that you felt comfortable enough with and that provided enough information so that it was transferable to a small, local, family-run business?
For me, because I'm from as early as I can remember, I always prioritize my life. I always take what's important to me and I put it to the top. When you prioritize to the point that I do, it's pretty easy to find authors. If 1 month your whole focus is residual income, well, I'm going to do a Google search. I'm going to go on LinkedIn. I'm going to just give some thought to who's big in the space of that type of income. And then three names pop up. I buy two of their books. One book, I'll start a few pages. Nah, I'm done with this. This guy is not for me. And then I'll connect with somebody else. I just make decisions. I pick a few people and I stick with them.
So you kind of do it as a maverick rather than networking to find out.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay,
a lot of people go the other way, and I see
that's where I am too. Talk to your peer group, whatever your network is. Hey, I'm looking for this kind of information from an author. Where do you go to find out about blank?
I wish I had a peer group. There's a group called the IMSO. It's an online forum of music store owners, and they're great guys. I like them a lot. But their issues and the things they deal with are very different than mine, so I don't feel like I'm really connected with them.
Scale?
No, some of them are...
That's a music pun, by the way.
Yeah, no, I got
okay,
that.
Well, yeah.
Some of the businesses are very much like mine, but their priorities are so different that I just don't feel like when we solve problems together... I really benefit from them. So to be honest with you, for the first few years, I really was trying to find peers. I was trying to find people that I could lean on a little bit for ideas and never really found them. So I have to turn to...
So you go outside the industry to find...
I have to, yeah, unfortunately.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bear Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bear Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Anthony Mantova from Mantova. Wait, community commenter Anthony Mantova from Mantova's Two Street Music. You probably ought to put a sign in the window that says, "Yes, I am."
Yes, I am. I like that.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Anthony, what's the biggest misnomer that you think people have that are considering going into a business with family members?
The first thing I would think of is that your life is going to stay the same and that the work-life balance is going to stay the same as you go into it. It never does. It's never going to be the way that it seems. I would suggest...
Now, is that family or is that...
Everything.
Business.
That's everything. Your social life, all your friends, all of the pastimes that you have. If you're going to start a business, all of that has to take a back seat, at least for a while. It just has to. But one thing I would say is eventually you can earn a work-life balance, but you do not deserve a work-life balance in the beginning. You don't get to have that. You have to earn that. I would suggest having a once-a-week family meeting that is sacred. I know some local families will do like a Sunday morning or a Saturday night, but there's one time of the week where everybody gets together and has a meeting, and it's actually got some structure to it. You get the tough stuff out of the way first. You get the financials out of the way. You brief everybody. Whoever is in charge of the money lets everybody know, here's the bottom line, here's the earnings, here's where we're at. Because why that's important, because as things really get messy, which they will, because it's family mixed with money, you have those weekly meetings to kind of let everybody know that this is when we'll decompress a little bit, but also get on the same page. I mean, there are people that make a lot of money as arbiters and counselors because they have to get people in these bigger businesses on the same page about things.
If you throw a couple zeros.
Yeah, exactly. But you can do that yourself if you have the good sense to have a weekly board meeting, essentially a weekly meeting where everybody in the family that takes part is sitting at the table getting a sense of where things are financially and what the goals are. Because what happens with business is kind of like a country. You start off with your ethics are tight and right. You've got real goals. And then what happens is you've done it for so long, you just focus on the bottom line and on the money. And then what happens is you start to check out of your business. You start to take too many trips. You start to practice escapism, watching a little too much Netflix at night. You let the business kind of run itself into the ground. Having that weekly business.
Playing boss.
Playing boss, yeah. It can happen to any of us. It's a dangerous thing. It creeps up on you. And part of preventing that is having a weekly meeting. I think that's a great way to do it.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, and I've not thought about it for a long time. Back, Tanner's Market, I know that's a Eureka reference.
Right. That's before
being
me.
A Fortuna boy, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in Henderson Center, long trip. When Food Mart was there, Tanner's was there also. Yeah. And they had a meat market, and I can remember a couple guys bought it. First thing they did is they went out and bought new trucks.
Yep.
And they started taking vacation because they owned the place.
Right.
Didn't last awfully.
They thought they were entitled to that lifestyle.
Well,
it doesn't work that
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understanding. You know, well, and basic things like work hours. You know, how do you determine work hours? You know, normally, a 40-hour work week is considered maximum.
Yeah, no.
some reality checks, I guess, would be some. So where would you have gone for reality checks?
Well, I mean, for us, it was those meetings. Those were definitely a reality check because everybody is able to say, hey, why did we spend this money on that? Why aren't we doing this? So for me, that was enough of a reality check. But I think even when you're giving it your all and the business is first and the personal life is second, there still needs to be a little bit of time you give to yourself to, and I know I'm it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but there needs to be a little bit of time per week where you're by yourself and you really look at everything and you take a deep breath and you have to be your own reality check. You have to unwound yourself. You have to handle your own mentality and be cognizant of where your brain is. Because at the end of the day, it's not just your bank account. It's the bank account of every family member in the business. So it's actually even more serious when you start that family business because it's not just about you. You can have your own bank default for a while, and you'll still be able to sleep on a friend's couch or something. You'll be okay. But when it's a business, it's so much more important than just you.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line.
The responsibilities.
Exactly.
For others also is one that weighs – can weigh heavily.
And you have to be able to handle that. If you can't handle that, don't start a family business.
Or probably business at all.
But I don't want to be like, I don't want to say, if you, I don't want to be that guy. If you want to start a business, there's easier ways to do it. You could start a franchise. Franchises are way easier than family businesses because a lot of the work's already been done.
They're probably a lot more lucrative.
And they can be a lot more lucrative. Absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with starting a franchise. And if you
businesses also.
They can be, yeah.
I mean, if I buy from Mother Blank,
yeah.
You know, and it's still, you know, Pabstein's on the bottom of it.
Do you have any idea how many franchises would love to come to Eureka right now? And the only reason they don't is because nobody's reaching out to them. The opportunity's there. I mean, you just have to go get it. And not all of them require a lot of money in the bank. I know some of them do. Last time I looked, I think Jamba Juice was like, you had to have $1 million in the bank and $2 million in fixed years. Okay, you know. But there's other ones that you can start right now. So I would say
Jamba Juice.
That's the first thing I thought of. Like I said, we need a cocktail bar
here. Yeah, yeah, we've gone from donuts to liquids in about 15 minutes.
Well, I'm off of keto, so, you know, okay. Gotta eat.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning. Family business.
Yes.
Is kind of the theme with Anthony Mantova. As the businesses mature, you've gone over the five-year mark.
Yeah.
Do routines settle? Do things change? Or do you still need to keep that focus, particularly if you're trying to find outside mentors?
Right.
Okay, you have yours. Let's say another family member has another mentor, and they kind of come at an issue from different perspectives.
Well, this is where the personalities come in. You're not going to have a business where every single member of the family has their own group of mentors, and they go to them for information. I don't think any business works that way. I think it's more like each one of us finds what we're good at. We stick to it. We try to bring our A game every day. Routines are great. It's a way to get things done. The danger with routines, though, is you can get too comfortable, lose focus of opportunities that would break your routine, and then instead of being an entrepreneur, you're a manager. And then if you're a manager for too long—
Aren't they connected at the hips?
Well, they are, and you have to go back and forth, but I would think, you know, again, talking about priorities, you should always be an entrepreneur and the trailblazer first and the manager second. You got to be really careful
because that
manager's
hat
gets comfortable. It is tough, yeah.
Yeah, what's it, the Michael Collins book? You know, he talks about getting to form and then reform.
Right.
To continue to push, because if you're successful, well, why do I want to change?
Yeah, well, that's—
Don't we ride this wave to the shore? Well, there's positives with that and there's issues with that.
But again, I'm just speaking for myself, you know, as a retailer. If you've got a business where a lot of the hard tangibles and the expectations aren't going to change, then maybe you're right. Maybe you really should be spending more time developing the right systems and keeping those systems in place and doing those systems better than everybody else. There's probably a lot of validity to that. But now with this COVID thing, we're seeing a lot of music businesses that have gone out of business because they were all service-based, meaning that they were, we covered this, you know, earlier.
Hands-on, yeah.
Well,
with customers.
Well, what I mean is more lessons-based. So, like, their income was coming from teachers that were teaching. Well, last year, all that disappeared. No more teachers teaching lessons 3 feet away from each other. That disappeared in 2020, and we saw a lot of music stores close forever, probably because of that.
That just represented that large of percentage of their revenue.
Exactly right. And thankfully, my business is not that kind of a business. But if I had more teachers, I would have to change gears and be the entrepreneur again. And the danger in business is you can lose your momentum. Once you lose your momentum, sometimes it's gone forever.
Yeah, it's tough to
Very
get things
tough.
Rolling again.
Well,
Sisyphus found that out.
That's right.
Jeez, mythology and business in the same show. Who'd
have
thunk it?
Covering all of it, Alpha to Omega.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.
Thanks.